Good morning. Greet you all in the name of Jesus. It's always a pleasure to be here with you. Sometimes when I'm speaking to my small congregation in Kane, I think they probably get tired of listening to me. And Walt was wondering when I'm going to stop coming in since you have another preacher here. And maybe he's getting tired of listening to me too. I don't know. Anyways, he's back there shaking his head no. So I did want to say, now not everybody is here this morning, but we have moved our location. For those of you who have not heard, we are meeting beside Save-A-Lot in the event center at Grandma Bear's. Just about, I don't know, a quarter mile down the street on the right from where we used to be having our services. Anyways, we've been there since probably December, and we have not got the word out very well because Aaron was parked in front of the feed store wondering where everybody else was the last week. So I thought I should let everyone know here. So I sat in the Sunday school lesson, was thinking about being a witness for Jesus and Jesus being a witness of the Father, and one thing that was sort of came to my mind was I've developed relationships with people, and in effort to share the love of Jesus with them, and it's more on this, it was more on this like missionary person basis, like I'm the missionary and you're the person I'm with, and this poor person, like. Like I didn't just have a relationship. Like I wasn't just this person's friend. I was like trying to share Jesus with this person. So I viewed this person more as my project than as my friend. Right? And I believe as Jesus bore witness of the Father, like Jesus had real, genuine, loving, heart-to-heart relationship with the people that he met. And for some reason, you know, in the past, I didn't let myself, like, go there, like, the whole way. Like, you know, like, 94% or 83% or something. But, like I wasn't just a friend to be a friend. And I believe I missed being a true witness for Jesus in that. That said, I think there's a danger in only being a friend. Like we need to kind of build our relationship on the fact that, you know, I'm a Christian, and maybe you're not, but that's okay, we're going to be friends, but I'm still going to share my faith with you. If I just, like, say, hey, let's be friends just because we want to be friends, and we're not going to talk about what we believe, then after we're friends, I'm almost scared to share what I believe because I'm scared of breaking off that friendship. So if that makes sense, I don't know. But I really agree with Dale on the whole thing about as fathers, we have this opportunity to be that witness for Jesus to our children. And that's kind of what I would like to talk about this morning. I would like to talk about who we believe God is. Who is God to you and me? What comes to my mind when I think about God is the most important thing about me. Actually, it's a quote by A.W. Tozer. He says, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." So what do I think about God? What does come into my mind when I think about God? We sang this song, "I Believe in God, Even Though I Can't See Him." Even when He is silent, I know if I wait and will listen in a still small voice, He will speak to me here. Turn with me to Psalms 103. And this morning, I'm going to say a few words here. And then objective is to read different passages of Scripture and to let ourselves sort of get lost in the story. Stories about people. Stories how God worked in their lives. But instead of focusing on the people, I would like to focus on the God. The God of the people. The God of you and me. I want us to be able to say, that's my God. That's the God I serve. So as we think about who is your God, who is my God, I would like to read Psalm 103, verse 8 to 18. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. That's my God. That's our God. We have this song on CD, There Is No God Like Jehovah. And we'll be like just about home and we'll be listening to this CD. And my youngest daughter will be like, I want to hear the Jehovah song. I want to hear the Jehovah song. And so we'll try to skip forward a few tracks, you know, to There Is No God Like Jehovah. There is no God like Jehovah. There is no God like Jehovah. Mostly, I don't know about you, but I like stories. And I'll tell you this one really, like, embarrassing story that I, like, really remember from grade school. I was sitting in my desk, and for some reason we had, like, story time and snack time. So I was eating, like, potato chips, this small bag of potato chips, and listening to this story. And, like some of my friends, like, they could care less about story time, but, like, I love story time. Like, and I would just sort of, like, imagine myself there, and I could feel what the character is feeling. And so I'm sitting there, I'm eating my potato chips, listening to this story. Potato chips got all, but I'm like listening to this story. And I like laid my potato chip bag out on, you know, and I started rolling it up just because, I don't know, it was all, right? And like, apparently this was incredibly loud because everyone else is like silent, right? And I'm like folding this bag over and just rolling it up. And all of a sudden, the teacher even stopped reading. Like, and everyone's looking at me. And all of a sudden, I was just like incredibly embarrassed because I was suddenly the center of attention. But I had been so attentive to what was happening in the story that I was like oblivious to what I was even doing, right? This morning, I would like to focus on some different passages of Scripture, different stories here and there. But too often, like, in church, we like look at the story and we start looking for application. And sometimes, you know, next time I preach here, I'm going to get in trouble. But sometimes, like, I think we look so much for application that we actually miss the story. We miss the God in the story. We're so busy trying to figure out, you know, how did this person feel? What caused them to respond this way? How should I respond when I'm in this situation? And we forget to see, like this person had a God who cared about them, who loved them, who brought them through this tough situation. And so this morning, I would like us to focus on the God of the story. Allow yourself to just listen. Because this is a story about our God. Last Sunday, if Aaron spoke the same message at our church that he spoke here, he talked about God's Word being true, God's Word being everlasting. And I think he might have even read from Genesis 1 here. But I'm going to start Genesis 1 and read the first two chapters here and just focus on God. In the beginning, hang on, what time is this? Oh, I pretend. Okay. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and evening and morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven, to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth and in the open firmament of the heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. To every beast of the earth, and every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day.
Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended His work which He had made. He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. These are the generations of the heavens of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the ground. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to the water to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is, it which compassed the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. And there is Delium and Nockstone. And the name of the second river is Gihon, the same as that compassed the whole land of Ethiopia. The name of the third river is Hiddekel, that is, which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field, and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Go front a few chapters, Genesis 24. The stories I pick may seem a bit random, but if you look at the way God works in the story, it's definitely not random. Genesis 24. Verse 11. This is Abraham's servant here. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women grow out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day. Show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. The daughters of the men of the city come out to draw. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. And I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness to my master. And it came to pass, before he was done speaking, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother. with her pitcher on her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin. Neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a gold earring and half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight and said, "Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" Turn front a few more chapters to Genesis 32. Start at verse 24. We have Jacob wrestling with the angel. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And Jacob means deceiver. And he said, "Thy name shall be no more Jacob, but Israel, which means Prince of God. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." All right, thinking about our God, let's turn front to Exodus 14, verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen. And his army, and he overtook them, encamping by the sea beside Pihirath, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, and they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, is that why you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it had been better for us to serve them than we should die in the wilderness." And Moses said unto the people, "Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, and which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea." And I beheld, and I, behold, I will harden the heart of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. And it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry land, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled, and the Lord overflew through the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned, and covered the chariots, and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. The waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sendest forth thy wrath, which has consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall deliver them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretched out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestine. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as a stone. till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out with her, with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." All right. I have a story for the children. I think we'll just let you stay in your seats. But we can turn to Daniel. Let's go to Daniel chapter 3. Too bad we can't do... Chapter 3 here is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Chapter 4 is Nebuchadnezzar's dream where he sees the handwriting on the wall. Chapter 5, I think, is... Nebuchadnezzar had that dream of a tree, I believe, in chapter 4. Chapter 5 is Belteshazzar and the handwriting on the wall. And chapter 6 is Daniel. Too bad we can't just sit here and read these stories all morning. But time's kind of getting away, so we'll just do chapter 3 here. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes and the governors and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, pretty much everyone, they were gathered together into the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And they stood before the image. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worship the same hour shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, of the flute, of the harp, of the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, the languages, fell down and worshipped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, all kinds of music, he shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, what time you hear the sound of the cornet, of the flute, of the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, all kinds of music, fall down and worship the image which I have made. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their leggings and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He rose up in haste, and he spake, and he said unto his counselors, Did not we cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth. Come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, and the governors, and the captains, and the kings, counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's words and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. That's my God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I wanted to stop in Samuel and Chronicles and Isaiah, but I didn't realize how long this would actually take. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're just going to start at verse 4 here, just because I like verse 4. But just think about our God. But God, who is rich in mercy, with His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Therefore, in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. For God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by them which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, which should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, where was I was made a minister according to the gift by the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's my God. Turn with me to Revelations 5 yet. Revelations 5, verse 14. I'm sorry, Revelations 5, verse 5. Revelations 5, verse 5, and we'll read to verse 14. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, the beasts, the elders. The number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. That's my God. I was reading Brother Andrew's book called The Secret Believer. And it's a story has true accounts in it, but it's
it's not totally true story. They didn't want to, you know, reveal the identity of any one person. But in it, they have a poem written by a Muslim believer to a friend who had introduced him to Jesus. And so the poem starts out like this. It says, "There is no escape from a better life, an abundant life, one that's full of freedom. There is no escape from the revolution of love. There is no escape from God." Now, imagine this, right? This Muslim has this view of his Muslim God, but now he's given the view of the God he found when he accepted Jesus. "There is no escape from God. God in the fullest sense of the word. A God who loves his creatures, all of them. A God who has mercy. A God who heals. A God who liberates. A God who is just. There is no escape from a God of flesh and bones. We need a real person, a real father, someone who is really, really holy, someone who really, really loves. There is no escape from a real God. There is no escape from Jesus Christ. There is no God like him. He created us, loves us with a passion, and longs for the same from us in return." He created us, he loves us with a passion, and he longs for the same from us in return. And then he goes on and he says, "That is what I want to thank you for introducing me to a God from whom I cannot escape, from whom I never want to escape." So what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. In closing, I'd just like to go back to Psalm 103. I'm just going to read those verses again. The Lord, starting at verse 8, 103, verse 8. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us. Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them." Hopefully you can all be encouraged, because that is the God we serve, the God who is merciful and gracious, one who keeps his commandments and his promises. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. Just thank you for being our God. Thank you for being all powerful. Most of all, thank you for your Son Jesus, who was a witness of you, and who we are witnesses of, Lord, that we may carry that witness through your strength. Just thank you for your tender mercies, which are new every morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.